your presence. That's where I want to be.
Let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23. Today we want to talk about the new breed of narcissistic false prophets. The book of Jeremiah is actually talking today about, we could actually say it was written for us today. And I want you to see what the Lord says about prophets that prophesy in his name, but it's not him. And the things that they say that is not him. We need to know what's going on. And then we're going to look at a false prophet today. And then we're going to do a statement of Christian discernment at the end. We need to discern in this hour of what's going on. And instead of just, oh, everyone's walking in love and don't judge. And no, we need to know and we need to discern. We need to know the truth from error. We need to know our Bibles. And we need to follow the true Jesus and the real gospel, not a lot of the things that have been tacked on or added on, right? So now Jeremiah 23, let's look at verse 21. There's so much in these chapters that I could spend a whole time, just a whole week just preaching out of this. But in verse 21, he said, I have not sent these prophets. Now we are in a move of super apostles and everyone's a prophet. He said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, they should have turned them from their evil ways. True prophetic voices turn people back to the Lord, not to themselves, not to follow after a man, but to follow after the true Christ, right? And from the evil of their doings, because the Bible tells us a lot, do this, don't do this, depart from iniquity. So true prophets speak truth. But he said in verse 25, I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy, what are they prophesying? Lies, and now here's the catcher, in my name. They're lying, but they're saying they're doing it, or that the Lord told me, God said, right? We're having the same problem today. That prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. God never tells someone to give a dream so they forget about him and they get their eyes on the man and they follow what that man is saying. But false prophets always do this. There's a thing about false prophets is they sound good. They have an ear-tickling messages, but what they do is they lead people astray. And verse 30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words. We're going through a time now where people are saying, the problem in the church is doctrine. We need to forget doctrine because doctrine just can divide everybody. That is a false teaching because he said we need to have sound doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching. It simply means we need to have sound teachings. They steal my words. They're telling us now you don't really need the Bible. You know, they'll use the scripture, but then they launch off into their dream. He said, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. We need to have the fear of God. That when people are saying, oh, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, they say it so lightly. Now, in verse, as we go up here, he said, they have a lightness about them. Remember that word lightness, because I'm going to talk about, with the false prophets, it's never the fear of the Lord. It's never like when the Lord really appeared to some of these guys, they couldn't even talk. They were amazed. They were just like, wow, because, you know, the real God showed up or an angel showed up that was from heaven. These false prophets, it's a lightness. Remember that as we go into this next thing about lightness. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy what? False dreams. And do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies. And by their lightness. Okay, underline that lightness. Because with the false prophets, it's always the Lord took them up into heaven by a train or they had a relationship and played with Jesus in a pond. And today we're going to see how so-called the Lord called this guy right in the middle of his bathtub. Their lightness, yet I sent them not. They shall not profit this people at all. They're non-profit. Okay. In verse 38, it says, they have perverted the word of the Lord. Wow. Now, in Isaiah 30, I'm going to quote this for you, but why don't you look up Ezekiel? Some of you might just keep going. Keep going forward. Ezekiel in verse 13. Ezekiel 13. But I'm going to quote from Isaiah 30, 9 through 10. It talks about, he said, this is a rebellious people, children that will not hear the law and say to the seers, what were the seers back then? They were the prophets. They were the true men of God. Prophesy not unto us right things. Prophesy smooth things. What's that smooth things mean? False deceit or flattery? Flattery. Tell us how good we are. Tell us that we need to build up our self-esteem. All these things are what they're doing today is they're prophesying about the flesh of man, and it's not causing people to get born again. It's causing false converts thinking that they're saved, which is really dangerous. That's why we need to preach the true gospel. So now we're plagued with a new breed of narcissistic false prophets. In other words, you have to obey them. They demand respect. They are very boastful. They're very arrogant. And they teach false doctrine. They appeal to a generation in love with themselves. Don't tell us that we have to be persecuted if we follow Christ. Tell us what we can gain. Tell us everything we're going to have now in this lifetime. Under the name of Christianity, they offer a false gospel of dominionism, prosperity, comfort, and peace. Now we're going to see this in Ezekiel 13. In Ezekiel 13, he said, verse 2, prophesy against the prophets of Israel. God is against false prophets. And if you're walking with the Lord, guess what? So are you. We're against the false, right? Well, that's not very positive. Well, there's a lot of things in here that aren't positive, but it's truth, right? Doesn't make it not true because it's not positive. Oh, it's so negative. I don't want to hear anything negative. We've been conditioned to have our ears tickled. And we have to know truth. Sometimes we don't like truth, but it's truth. Can you handle the truth? Okay, he said, so prophesy against the false prophets. That what do? They prophesy out of their own hearts. Verse 3, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and they've seen nothing. Verse 5, what is he? He's against them because they haven't went into the gaps. That means they haven't prayed. They haven't really spent their life praying for people, for the house of Israel to stand in what? In the day of battle of the Lord. We're in a war, and the false teachers will put you to sleep. They'll tell you there is no war. They're telling you the world is getting better and better. But the Bible says that we're in perilous times, right? So who are you going to believe, the false prophets or what the Bible says? They believe that, don't be negative, the world's getting better and better. And I'll show you this through a true prophecy by one of the leading false prophets in one of these Bible schools, these Signs and Wonders Bible schools, in a minute. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord has not sent them. That's why we need discernment in this hour. Is this a word from God or is this a word from man? Okay. He said, I therefore have, saith the Lord, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord. In verse 10, because even they have seduced my people. God does not like it when somebody's preaching in his name, giving false dreams, saying the Lord said, and they're being seduced and lulled to sleep. Because the Bible tells us we need to watch. We need to pray. We need to fill our vessels with oil, right? He said, because they have seduced my people, saying peace. And there is no peace. There was no peace. Now that word peace there in the Hebrew means ease. This is a day of ease. Your next breakthrough is coming. Safety and rest. This is still the word for peace. Ease, safety, rest, prosperity, happy. And they don't prepare us to stand in the day of battle. They tell you you'll never get sick. I just heard a famous preacher just had a convention said he's never been sick, never will be sick. How arrogant. So what does that do to all their followers? It makes them feel condemned. And we found out a lot of these people have secrets. They go to Mexico. They do all. You don't have to lie and pretend you're something you're not. Amen? Don't say that you're always going to be happy. There's days you're going to grieve. One of our praise and worship leaders from my old church just died yesterday. I'm grieving today. It's sad. It's sad because he was young, but he loved the Lord. But he's gone. So what does that mean? I mean, there's a season that we're going to grieve. We're not going to be happy. We're happy that he's in heaven, but there's still a point that we have to experience some grief. They did it in the Old Testament, and we still grieve. They're better off, but we're in loss. We lost them. So they don't prepare us to stand. They don't tell you that you're going to be persecuted. They don't tell you that when you stand for truth, there's going to be people that aren't going to like you. They didn't tell you that there's a civil war coming in the body of Christ where it's Christian against Christian. When you stand against the false prophets that they love, they're not going to like you. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared to stand when having done all to stand and they don't like you and they've thrown your name out as evil because now you're off on some weird thing? No, you got to know that these things, these times are happening and they're coming. Okay. He said in verse 18, oh, I like this. Saith unto the Lord God, woe to the women. Now here, there's women false prophets as well, that sew pillows to all the armholes. That represents false doctrines. And he said, you pollute me, verse 19, among my people, for handfuls of barley. Today we could say for seed offerings. You're polluting my people, telling them that they're not going to have any trouble if you just sow into that ministry. That's a lie. We are in this world. There is a devil loose. Our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is being renewed day by day, right? Then he says, you pollute me in verse 19 among my people for handfuls of barley by your lying to my people that hear your lies, false teaching. What does God say? I'm against your pillows. I am against your false prophecies. I'm against your lying dreams. I'm against your lying visitation that you're taking everyone to heaven. Trips to heaven that you're going nowhere other than your living room. Okay, now, God does not contradict himself. So the best way that we can really stand in this hour is to know your Bible for yourself. You've got to read your Bible. The last 20 years we've been taught, don't read your Bibles, read the books about what these preachers say about what the Word says. So we've gotten our faith in men. We've got to get back to men didn't save you. No man saved you. No book saved you. No preacher saved you. Jesus saved you. His Word is truth. And beware of these new translations coming out. So these whitewashed religions, you've told them, don't watch, don't discern, just accept anything that comes in the name of God. And these are false times. Not only do we have fake news, but we have fake preachers. We have preachers that are preaching false doctrine, and we need to know the Lord's against them. So we talked a couple weeks ago about don't touch the anointed. Doesn't mean don't discern what they're saying. It meant don't cause physical harm in the Old Testament. Don't kill them. Well, I don't think any of us are planning on killing them. But we need to discern what they're saying. So we have to see if God's for that person or if they're preaching in his name, but not about what he's telling them, then we also have to be against them, right? Right. Now, this is from an article from Rick Becker again. And it's from the article, Like Jackals Among Ruins. And I'm only going to do a part of this. If you want to get that article, you can. Rick Becker, Like Jackals Among Ruins. But he's talking about a false prophet in one of the greatest movements right now, movements of men, signs and wonders movements, that's not of God, but it's bringing in a mixture of the occult. It's bringing in the mixture of New Age, just like I've been teaching you for the last few years. And this is his vision. Now, I want you to see the lightness of this vision that just... He just told us, watch out for the lightness of these false prophets. He said, Jesus appeared to him while he was in the bathtub. Now, right there, just doesn't that sound, you know? He said, I heard a strange noise, and I opened my eyes just in time to see Jesus walk through the wall and stand in front of me. I sat up in the tub with a sense of awe surging through my being like electricity. And then he goes on, he says, you will guide, this is what the Lord told, you'll guide many nations into prosperity, freedom, and peace. Now remember we said, be careful when they say peace. safety, prosperity. Beware when these prophets prophesy lies in my name, okay? He said the vision lasted for about an hour and a half. Oh, aren't you special that you got a visit from Jesus for an hour and a half? As Jesus told me many things that that would happen in my life, I sat there in the tub speechless. This just makes me want to cry. Notice that the Jesus he saw was not concerned with the salvation of souls or the spreading of the gospel, but rather the agenda of the New Apostolic Reformation. Now, you need to get a heads up of the New Apostolic Reformation. They do not call themselves New Apostolic Reformation, especially now that so many people have caught on. They've taken it off their websites. They've disguised it. It's just apostles and prophets, but they're new apostles and prophets, okay? Jesus had no intention to make the kingdoms of this world his own, but to redeem a people from the kingdoms of the world. We're saved. We are not to love this world. I'm just amazed at how many Christians are caught up in Hollywood, and all this transgender stuff is happening, and all this mixture is happening, and they just like, okay, well, they're accepting everything that the TV and the movies are showing them to accept. We're being brainwashed by the prince of the power of the air, rather than what the word says. A people will be hated. The Bible says if they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. They don't want you shining your light on them and telling them what their deeds are evil. You know what they'll say? Who do you think you are telling me what to do? They don't like it. I remember when I was not saved and I had this precious little aunt and uncle. And they were always, you know, they were Christians. And I remember I wasn't born again. I loved them when I was little, but when I got around them old, I was convicted. And I didn't know what that conviction meant, but I just knew I didn't feel good being around them. When people aren't living right, they don't want to be around you. It's the spirit in them rebelling against the spirit in you. It's another kingdom. The kingdoms are clashing. Don't take it personal. If they hated Jesus, he said they're going to hate you. But he said he's called to redeem a people from the kingdoms of this world. We are not to make this our final habitation. We have a hope. We have a future. Our future is in heaven. It's a real place. A people who will be hated, persecuted, ridiculed, will endure much suffering. We are like aliens and sojourners in this present world. We're just passing through. Conditions on the earth prior to Christ's return are the opposite of what these false preachers say. There will be war instead of peace. Are you seeing war? Are you looking out into the headlines of the paper? You're seeing wars brewing? Are you seeing civil war amongst people in the United States? This is all part of the New World Order, which I've been preaching. Now it's the white supremacy groups are being attacked. Before the blacks were attacked, now they've got to cause this division. This is part of the New World Order. They want to destroy the old order and bring in a new order against families. Everything we've been talking. There will be war instead of peace. Apostasy, what does that mean? The falling away. Are we seeing people falling away? Were people saying, I don't believe in Christianity anymore. It's just like any other religion. All the religions are the same. We all serve the same God. That's an apostasy and spiritual delusion. And then they'll say there is a massive revival coming. And our Bible never says there's going to be a massive revival. He says there's going to be a massive apostasy, which means a great falling away from the truth. They're falling away from the truth. And what are they doing? They're doing just what they did in Jeremiah's day. They're going after the false prophets that are prophesying in his name, dreams in his name, visions in his name, lightness. It's going to increase. Nations will not experience prosperity, freedoms, and peace. What does the Bible say, Matthew 24? Kingdom shall rise against kingdom. You're going to see more satanic stuff. We've been seeing stuff on our televisions we've never dreamt would come on. This evil, satanic stuff right in plain sight. But there will be a man who will claim to have the ability to bring peace on earth, and it won't be Jesus. The Antichrist. And this is what's happening. A lot of these churches now are preparing for the Antichrist. The Antichrist or the beast will display the very things that the New Apostolic Reformation crave. What is it? Power and dominion. Remember, when Jesus walked the earth, he wasn't about power. He was humble. He healed in all this to show he was the Son of God. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. False signs and wonders. Don't be chasing after signs and wonders. The Bible says that signs will follow us if God wants to use them, but we don't seek after them. Now, in order to graduate from this school of ministry, you have to have failed prophecy at least 3 times or they won't graduate you. They want you to risk and fail. Now, the prophets in the Old Testament, they had to be accurate or they were stoned. Well, the false prophets don't care how far you are. Oh, you just missed it. You're practicing. We're not practicing in the name of God, wrecking people's lives. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all powers and false signs and wonders, with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth. So what happens is going to be a strong delusion. And when you try to talk to some of these people, it's like they're blinded. You can't get through to them. They're under that delusion because they didn't love the truth. That's a scary place to be. So they may believe what is false in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, these failed prophecies, an example still going reading out of this article, the same prophet that had Jesus visit him in the bathtub for an hour and a half. I'd be wrinkled and whatever after an hour and a half. He said, I went home on a high one night, laying in bed, and I heard the Lord laughing. Now here again, this lightness, okay? With false prophets, there's no fear. There's no reverence of a holy God. It's, yeah, he's my buddy. He said this, the Lord spoke to him and said, this was a good word you gave to that lady at the end. I started to get worried and apologizing to God for getting so caught up in the moment. I went from a high to a quirk low. He laughed, talking about God. God laughed and he said, oh, that's okay. I'll take care of it. God's telling him, I'll take care of your false prophecy. I said, how are you going to take care of it? And the Lord replied, God said, what kind of a friend would I be if I only ever did what I wanted? Imagine that, God laughing about a false prophecy. Now, this is one of the major schools of ministry in the world right now, not just in the United States, but it's happening worldwide. This is a worldwide prophetic movement, false prophetic movement. And then the Lord says, I'm going to do something to fix it. So God now is going to fix false messages. He's going to go and fix. So they're little by little letting you know, it's okay if you miss God. It's okay, because you know why? They know their prophecies are wrong. They know they're lying in his name. And they know they're going to be found out. So what do? They whitewash it. Just cover it over. Dominionists believe the world will get better. And this is what he said. He said, there's a sense of despair and hopelessness and a feeling of things are going to get worse and worse hanging over the planet. We must be more than optimistic. We must see the world through the eyes of God and have faith for the world to get better. Now the true gospel, and God really visited someone, listen to this, someone who had to stand important before the leaders was the Apostle Paul, right? And when the Apostle Paul was called, God described him as a chosen instrument of my name to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel in Acts 9:15. This calling came at a price. What was that? I will show him how he must suffer for the sake of my name. It's not a, oh, yay, yay, rah, rah. There's a suffering sometimes that goes around with preaching the true gospel and having to witness before kings and these people. So Paul stood in chains before King Agrippa. He made it clear that the purpose for God sending him to the people was to open their eyes from what? Satan to God, from darkness to light. He was concerned about them being saved. He was concerned about them coming out, not just about that prophet being famous, that prophet's having a great ministry. And it didn't matter if the prophecies failed. After all, God's his friend and he's going to fix it. And lastly on this article, in a sense, this man is a prophet. He's a false prophet who will probably plan and play a very active role in uniting a false church. That is very sad. So we need to know a true prophet versus a false prophet. Now, there's another manifesto. It's a statement of Christian discernment. And I love this in 2 Timothy 4. There will come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine. Because now what they're telling you is sound doctrine is divisive. If you listen to any of the emergent preachers, all these people that are very popular, they're writing books, they're all over the place, we're being infiltrated by false prophets. And narcissistic at that, because if you dare question them, like all the letters I've been getting from these people, they tell them, you're the rock thrower, you're the hater, there's something wrong with you, you're coming against God. No, we're coming against the false prophets that God is against. So this is the manifesto of Christian discernment. And I'm going to read this. I found this, and I'm adding to it. He says, we will maintain a healthy skepticism towards all the big-name leaders in the church. No matter how famous a Christian celebrity might be, we refuse to be gullible just because someone has become a brand name. Just because someone's big does not mean you need to follow them, right? Just because, how did they get big? Who's funding them? You'll be surprised when you do some of these histories on some of these so-called revivals and who's funding them, where the money's coming from. How come they have such a big ministry? What are they peddling? Where the true preachers in this hour are having a lot of them meet in secret in different countries. Don't think it's not coming. It is coming. It's here, coming to America, I believe. And this is another thing we have to do for ourselves, because the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine, but they turn away from the truth unto fables. Unto some guy's dream, unto some guy's vision, unto some guy's prophecy. We will check everything any pastor, teacher says against God's word. Is this in the Bible? And when it comes to the most powerful multimillionaire super pastors, we will assume the worst until convinced otherwise. Instead of believing the best, we have found out many of these super apostles are preaching false gospel. That's why they have such massive crowds. But the wheat and the tares grow together. Now in Acts 17, the Bereans, what do? They search the scriptures. They search the scriptures. Get back to your studying and searching the scriptures to see whether these things were so. God is for that. He's not going to say you're a hater. He's going to commend you for finding out some of these apostles were what? Liars, we found out in Revelations. We refuse. Now, this is our discernment. We refuse to be impressed or motivated by storytelling, by drama, and entertainment. God and his written word is the only acceptable focus of a worship service, not the performances and the manipulations of men. We will not tolerate idiotic stunts in order to bring the unsaved to church. Church is a place of worshiping God, not bringing unsaved people and unsaved music in to make them happy and grieve the Holy Spirit, where God's not going to show up anyway. He's so grieved because they brought the profane in. They brought in the world in. We're not going to tolerate being deceived, whatever they say. We will not tolerate claims of direct revelation from any pastor or teacher. Any pastor or teacher that claims to hear something new directly from God will be immediately disqualified. We understand that you need a constant influx of new and gullible listeners, but we refuse to participate. Once you grow up, you don't take that anymore. You're like, I know that's not in the Bible, and I know that's manipulative. Don't have anyone manipulate money out of your pocket into theirs. God says we should be cheerful givers. We should give as we purpose in our heart. Don't let people con you and control you and promise you false things. That's why a lot of people backslide. They were promised something, and it never happened. They got disillusioned. And it was nothing that God ever promised him to begin with. It was a man that promised it. It was something man tacked on. A pulpit and a microphone should only be used to direct attention to Christ, not towards a pastor who loves the attention of an audience. I used to hang around a lot of preachers that said they couldn't stand to be out of the pulpit for 3 days. They needed that attention. They needed to be lifted up. They needed that praise. That's not why we're in the ministry. We're not in it to have an audience and to promote ourselves and to put on a show, right? Now, 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, men shall be lovers of self. We're living in this hour now, covetous. Tell me what I can gain. If I get saved, and what are God's going to give me? I just want to know what's in it for me. So these false preachers, what do? They cater to that flesh. And what does it say? They tickle their ears and they flatter them. Men shall be lovers of self, covetous. Then they boast. And when you get delivered from this, your eyes are open. You see the boasting and you see the pride. When we're really walking with God, we're humble. It's only because of the grace of God, right? Stop telling people it's all about Jesus when you actually talk more about yourself and your ideas. This is to the pastors now. Narcissism is becoming huge in the pulpits today. It's all about that person. It's all about putting themselves in scriptures that were not even written to have our names put in. Like Abraham called those things that be not as though they were. Now everybody thinks they can call those things that be not as though they were. Somebody I saw the other day said, well, are you creating that? Are you creating that? Are you speaking that into existence? And I wanted to slap her and say, you idiot, get out of that false teaching. But I was in it myself. That was for Abraham. Take the scriptures in context. Stop bragging. What does it mean to brag? To speak with pride and exaggeration about how much you're doing for God. Stop bragging about how great your church is. We used to go to this one church, and it was just like they were so elite that you wondered even why anyone else even preached the gospel, because they were it. There's such a spirit of pride on that church. Now, we should love our church, but not, you know what I'm saying? There's a difference where they're just, it's just, if you don't go to that church, you might as well just forget it, because that's the only church. Some of you come from there. Another to the pastors. To the pastors, you are a sinner that deserves God's wrath just like the rest of us. Jesus took the punishment we deserve upon himself to set us free from sin and death. You didn't do anything. Either tell us about the true gospel or we will go elsewhere. This is our discernment, right? You're entitled. You're not a rock star preacher. You're a servant of Christ. You are not a CEO of a business. You're a servant of Jesus Christ. You are not a motivational speaker. Just do motivational speakings and just tack the name of Jesus on it. You're a servant of Jesus Christ. Stop taking Bible verses out of context to support your own personal agenda. Stop spending so much time putting on a good show each Sunday. Instead, you're starving your people to death. Start studying and giving them the Bible. You guys doing okay? Stop emphasizing leadership skills as if you were running a large corporation. You're cheapening the church and starving your sheep. Stop using marketing gimmicks and promotional tricks to imitate a genuine work of God. Stop embarrassing us by trying to be cool, relevant, and modern. Just preach the word. We could stop and pause there, couldn't we? Stop thinking nobody will show up if you don't tickle people's ears to get them in the door. Okay, you're going to like this one. Stop relying on musicians to create a fake Holy Spirit. You should be more concerned about the biblical training and the eternal fate of these musicians rather than just using them as a part of the Sunday morning show. We don't use musicians to promote ourselves. Musicians in church are there to bring people into the presence of God. And we're concerned about those musicians, not just about our show. I love that. Stop giving motivational speeches that promise success in the name of God. Stop manipulating people. Start serving them. Stop pointing people to yourself. In conclusion, and I've left a lot out of his article, we will seek, this is still our declaration, our statement of discernment, we will seek out the pastor who faithfully serves God and proclaims repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. God's word alone will be our guide. It will be our joy to serve faithfully under a real biblical pastor no matter what. God help us all in the great name of Jesus. That is our discernment. That's what God wants. He is against false prophets, and he's for your safety. And lastly, in closing, false teachers make you feel like you deserve a crown. The true gospel leads us to a cross. False gospel will never tell you of the cost of following Christ, but what you will gain. If you're going to really serve the Lord in this world is not going the right way. America is no longer going the right way. Many of our children are falling prey to these false churches. And now they're so worldly. They're doing everything the world does that they just tack Jesus on. They just tack the name of Jesus on. You can't tell the difference because of what's happening to these in these false churches. The false gospel or the false preachers boasters of their new revelation, of a shift, of a new move of unity and love. Something's just coming right around the corner. Your breakthrough. They've lied to people. And sometimes we do have breakthroughs, but we're not promised it. There's no scripture that says your breakthrough is coming. Sow a $20 seed, $200 seed, $2,000 seed for your breakthrough. Right? Where have we gotten this? False teaching is the new normal. I want to weep when I say that. False teaching is the new normal. So if you're going to be a Berean, if you're going to be a true believer in this hour, you need to know what the Bible says versus what the false prophets are promising. Peace, prosperity, like this one musician from a great church, not a great church, but a very infiltrated church, wrote music for years and said, I'm leaving Christianity because everything they've promised is a lie. What happens, false prophets put false promises and they make you think you're never going to have a problem. You're never, if you just do this and do that, it's a bunch of works. You got to keep saying it. You got to repeat this. You got to do this. You got to have the laws. Remember we talked about the laws and the forces? That's metaphysical science, we found out. We put ourselves in works and labor, and it's so hard trying to run the universe. So false teaching is the new normal. And now I want to close with this. We need to start asking questions. Now, you just don't go to any doctor, hopefully. There's doctors out there that are quacks, that are just making money, that are just, you know, doing... You don't just go to any lawyer, you don't... But we go to any preacher that looks good. Well, they have to be good. You have to start asking yourself important questions because your soul is involved. Your life is involved here. Many of us are crawling out of false doctrines we've been taught. We've given and sown years to the wrong kind of teaching. So ask yourself, is this a motivational message with Jesus tacked on? Or is this the real gospel? Because they can take a couple scriptures and just, you know, make it sound so great. A lot of churches are nothing but motivational centers with life coaches. You can get that in the world. Go to the World Business Meeting. Go to some of these business things and it's exactly the same teachings, the law of attraction. Why is this church accepting New Age teachings? Why all of a sudden is our church changing? And now we have yoga for classes, and now we have these different types of prayer, contemplative prayer, breathing. Just breathe. That's the new thing now. Just breathe. We come to church to breathe. Really? I breathe all the time. I don't need to come to church to breathe. But this is their new... breath prayers, contemplative Catholic. So we're accepting New Age teachings. Why has this leader changed his views? Well, I'm just progressing now. I didn't used to believe that, but now I'm changing into more of a worldview. Did he sell out? Did someone pay him off? Why has this leader changed? 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4, preach the word, reprove. Sometimes we need a good rebuking. And it makes you feel so good because you repent. I have a hard heart and I needed to repent. You know, there's so many things that you just read the Bible and you get convicted because God speaks to you through his word. So they're trying to say, you don't need that anymore. If you listen to the apostles and the prophets of this hour, we're going to give you, we owe you an encounter with God, is what they're saying. We owe you an encounter. So everyone's coming to these schools and these churches expecting to prophesy. For $5,000, you can go to these schools. And you can prophesy. You can sign up on online classes. You can, if you're having trouble getting to heaven, I mean, they'll give you anointing oil to get in. These are crazy things that are being taught now in the name of God that are happening everywhere. But he said, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and what? Doctrine. Doctrine. Teaching. Teaching. So if someone's just giving you their revelation, and I used to be caught up into this, I said, oh, that's so awesome that they got that vision. Now I'm just like, where was I? Where was I? Why did I'm trying to teach people now what I wish somebody would have taught me. We never had mentors that would say, this is what the false teaching, false gospel is, what's happening. Nobody wants to step out and do that. Preach the word, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. That sounds legalistic. You rock thrower, you hater. You're a hater now if you stand on the Bible. Did you know that? Yeah. You're the hater. And they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will turn from truth to what? Fables. To unreal stuff. To visions and dreams that have no substance. Well, I'm going to stand on the vision that so-and-so had. Really? You got to stand on the Bible. You got to stand on the Word, right? Not just some vision, some revelation that some guy that Jesus visited in the bathtub for an hour and a half. Oh, they will turn from the truth to fables. So what are we supposed to do? Watch. Watch and endure afflictions. You know why we have to endure afflictions? We're not in heaven yet. They want to tell you that heaven's coming to earth. It is not coming to earth. We still have you noticed? We still have to pay our taxes. That'll be heaven. When we don't have to pay bills, now then maybe I'd believe you. Hey, we are in heaven. No bills today. Hallelujah. For the rest, there's no more IRS, all that. Then we'll have heaven. Until then, it's a bunch of hogwash. It's false prophets. It's false prophesying. You're not going to bring heaven to the earth. The only way you die is if you're a born-again Christian, you go to heaven. And if you're not, you're going to face a judgment, and you're going to go to hell. They want to say there's no hell either. But we don't add and we don't take away. We just preach what the Word says. And everyone said? Amen. Father, we want you to open our eyes. There is so much going on in your name. This book of Jeremiah is just like today. We are seeing the same things today. These pillow prophets, lay your head here. Everything's wonderful. You're not going to have any trouble. Then when crises come and conflicts come and disease and sickness come, they run away. They're mad at God. They preach now, we have to forgive God. Forgive God. He didn't do anything wrong. We have been deceived by wrong teaching. And we've been not prepared to stand for what's coming in this hour. We are in end times. The Bible says that wicked things are going to happen in the end times. We are going to see violence. We are seeing things rise up. We're seeing different groups. We're seeing a division against purposely put, rightly divide. They're causing us to attack each other. They're causing total confusion and division in politics. It's like a big circus. They're trying to fight each other, and they want us to pick sides, and we realize we know what's going on behind the whole thing. You told us, don't let any man deceive you, any politician deceive you, because they're not of this world. We're not of this world. They're of this world. So, Father, we just thank you for opening our eyes in these end times to the false prophets and the narcissistic seasons of our days that we are here on earth, lovers of self. Everyone said?
We just want to thank our YouTube audience. We are so glad that you're here, and we just don't take it lightly that you've taken your time to visit us weekly and to watch our YouTube ministry. And we just want to introduce ourselves. We're just a small remnant church. We're a group of believers who wants to follow the true Jesus and the true gospel. And we thank you that you're here doing that with us. Our online church is really a group of people that does life together. And if you consider this your church, we want to do life with you too. So we're inviting you to join us on our private Facebook group. You can search for us on Facebook. It's LIHPC Online Church Fellowship. Please go there and request to become a member, and we would be happy to connect with you online. We would also really love it if you'd want to continue to follow us, if you'd click subscribe and make sure you ring the bell, and that way you'll get notifications every week. And please share this YouTube on your social media so that other people can learn more about the truth as well. Lastly, if you would like to financially support our ministry, if you consider us a part of your church experience and you would like to donate, you can do that by visiting our website, livinginhispresence.org, and just click Give at the top. We thank you, and again, we don't take it lightly. We really appreciate you. Thank you.